Amen. Appreciate the Lord and giving us another day of life. Amen. We don't deserve it, but he gave it to us. Amen. And we're going to make this day the best that we can, right? Give him praise. Amen. Well, let's just bow our heads one more time before we continue. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you once again, Lord, and just thanking you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to serve you and to come and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, to feast upon your word, Lord. We pray that you would have your way here this morning and give us something, Lord God, that we can take with us and immediately apply in our lives, Lord Jesus. And use my lips this morning. And Lord, you just continue to be with everyone, Father God, that is traveling and sick, Father. You know every need, Father, that was mentioned here. And we just ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to go to, I'm not going to show any scriptures on the screen, so you can just turn there or they can put them up on the screen. But it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4 says this, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore," and this is the verse I wanted to concentrate on, "therefore, judge nothing before the time. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." And so I wanted to concentrate on that, amen. Brother Branham, he preached a message called Presuming. Amen. And he said that he looked at the definition of the word presuming, and it was to venture without authority. And but sometimes we get confused as to when to use the word presuming and the word assuming, because they're very, very, very much alike. And so I brought up Webster's Dictionary nowadays, and this is what both of those mean. Amen. It says that although presume and assume both mean to take something as true, presume implies more confidence or evidence-backed reasoning, right? When you presume something, I'm presuming that my car is out there, in the parking lot because I drove it here this morning. That's the evidence that I have. But now assuming doesn't have any evidence backing it up. You just assume. I assume that Brother Don's car is out there, but I didn't see him pull up the car. But I'm assuming. I'm just thinking that. And we do that a lot. We just venture to think things about others, about situations, and you have no speck of proof whatsoever. That's what assuming is. Now, presuming is the proof is there, but you don't know that yet it's true or not. So there's a little bit, there's another little layer of truth there with presuming, whereas assuming you don't have any layer of truth, yet you're stating something as a fact. And that's dangerous ground for us as Christians to walk upon. It's very easy for us to judge. Paul clearly tells us here, don't judge things before the time. Let the Lord take care of those things. Amen. Because then what will we be doing when we have no proof or backing it up? We are just assuming. We are just thinking that that's how things are, when in reality you have nothing to back what you're saying. You see? So it continues to say here, assume and presume both mean to take something for granted or to take something as true. The difference between the words lies in the degree of confidence held by the speaker or writer. If he or she is making an informed guess based on reasonable evidence, presume is the word to use. If a guess is made based on little or no evidence, assume is usually used. So that is what presume and assume mean. Now, I was looking through the scripture and I came to the story of the priest Eli and Hannah. And when Hannah, if you remember, Hannah went, she was travailing before God because she couldn't have children. And she asked the Lord, she went down to the near the temple, and she was there praying that the Lord give her a child and that she was going to dedicate it to. Well, Eli the priest, a holy man, a man that was dedicated to God, here he is looking at Hannah, thinking that she had had too much wine. Because she was there crying, she was there travailing before God, maybe she was shaking, maybe she was really praying to the Lord. But in his judgment, he thought that she was drunk, not knowing that she was actually doing a spiritual thing and asking God to do something for her because she was in need. How many times, you know, we do that so many times, you know? You know, we see the actions of individuals and we look at them and we immediately judge those actions with something that we, you know, from previous experiences that we've had. And we can't do that to people. Sister Rebecca, Brother Eric's wife, that was here from Honduras, they were on the airplane coming here to the States. And she wanted to sit there with her husband on the same seat so he could help her with the baby. So their seats were separate. And so there was a lady there that she had asked, is it possible that my husband could sit here and you can just take his seat? Well, she didn't want to give up her seat. And so the lady started talking to her husband because her husband was sitting next to her. And she kept telling him, I'm not giving up my seat. I paid for this seat and all, you know. And she was just being real nasty about it. But she was thinking that Rebecca couldn't speak English. So she's there talking to her husband the whole time about her. The lady comes through and asks, you know, what does she want? Does she want coffee? Does she want tea? The lady that works in the airplane, the stewardess lady. And Rebecca just started talking to her in plain English. I want a coffee, or, you know, this. And the husband, she said that she heard the husband tell her, she speaks English. So you can't assume. Assume makes you look dumb. When you assume things that you have no evidence, what, you know, there was a pastor at the Wesleyan Church. He was an American man, and he spoke very well Spanish, and he had a little Spanish congregation. He was trying to help there in Greenville, South Carolina, and that's, we were going there with him for a while before we came to the message. And he said he was at a Waffle House one time, and there was some Latinos in there, you know, talking about him. You know, I don't know what they were saying, and he just turned to them and started talking to them in Spanish. And hey, so you can't really, especially nowadays, you know, you can't assume who speaks Spanish and who doesn't, or who speaks English and who doesn't, because sometimes the ones that look like they speak Spanish, they don't. And then sometimes the ones that speak that we think is speaking English, and they don't. So it's a very, very tricky ground for you to assume or presume. You see, that, you know, because what happens is that sometimes assumptions makes us think like we know the answer to questions, and in reality we don't have the answers to questions. You see. It makes you look foolish sometimes when you are judging things before the time. So here was Eli. He was judging Hannah when Hannah was actually doing a good deed. And he was presuming. Now, see, it happens to any one of us. It can happen to no matter what your position is. Eli was a priest before God. But maybe, you know, I don't know. See, he had two sons who were not living right, and they were probably getting drunk and stuff like that too. And so he's seeing that so much that he thinks that that's what Hannah was there to do as well, or that she was there drunk. But in reality, she was not. So So sometimes assumptions, they ask the right questions, but we jump too quickly to conclusions, you see? And you can see that in the case of Job. When Job, the Lord allowed Satan to touch his life. He said, "You can touch his life, but don't kill him." Yeah, that was only for the Lord. And so here are Job's friends, and they're all around here, and they're assuming, without any evidence, that Job had committed sin. And therefore, he was in the condition that he's in. But the Bible says that Job was a righteous man. And in so much that he would actually sacrifice and he would give offerings to the Lord, even for his own children, just in case if they have sinned. So he was concerned about himself and about his family. And the Lord blessed them. The Lord blessed them greatly. But here are these men, supposed to be his friends, and they're assuming, without any evidence, that he had sinned. And they were trying to give him the solution to the problem, when in reality, that wasn't what Job was needing. We know that later on, you know, God shows him the reality of how things are. So we can't assume, we can't jump too quickly, amen, to assumptions. Amen. Amen. And we know that also that our natural assumptions, our assumptions, our own human assumptions, they usually don't align with God's thinking, with the way God thinks and the way God sees individuals. All right, you know, we sometimes see our individuals and we think, you know what, there's no hope for that person, but not in God's eyes. God doesn't see that. God can change the hearts, whereas you can't change hearts. And sometimes we see our children in that way, and we think, you know what, my son, my daughter, you know, I don't know, that they're just so far gone. But God doesn't see it that way. There's nothing impossible for God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And see, and so you're assuming, you're seeing. Well, it's your own personal experience. For example, Sarah, you know, she was listening to the angel telling Abraham, your wife's going to have a son. She's going to give birth. And she was old as she was listening in the tent behind them. And in her mind and in her own human ways, she's assuming, wait a second, if I put 2 + 2 together, I get 4. I'm old. I can't have children anymore. How is that going to happen? And because of her assumption, she was getting ready to get in trouble. The angel of the Lord, you know, was God could have struck her right there, but because of Abraham, amen, stepped in for her. And also because he was part of her and she was part of him. Amen. God could not hurt her. But God heard it. God heard that she was assuming that God could not do what he said that he was going to do right there at the moment. And so we can't assume, amen, that what we have to take everything that God says in his word as is truth. Amen. And that, and we, even if we don't see the results or the happening right there and then, God said it. And as Brother Billy Paul used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, right? Amen. Well, it's better to live life that way instead of having a negativity about everything. Yeah. Well, God said it, but you see, she acts this way. She does this. He does this. You see, is a better way. God can change the heart. Look, he changed the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar one day. He changes the hearts of the most vile man in he changed your heart. Yes, right. Why couldn't he do that with your daughter, or with your son, or with your family member, or that person that you're praying for? God is more than able. So we can't assume that God's word can't apply to him or her, and because God's word is true. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's see here. Now, also, fear can cause us to assume the worst about people and also their intentions. When we have fear and we're not thinking right, we sometimes think that someone's out to get me. somebody's out there just ready to pounce on me whenever. But see, fear causes you to act that way. That's why the Bible says, "Do not fear." It tells us, you know, fear is a tormentor. So fear causes us to assume things, causes us to judge things, and then there's nothing there for us to, there's no evidence of it. You see, you know, it's just like a little kid in a bedroom who's scared, you know, at night, and he just really really thinks that there's something in that closet. I mean, he really really believes it. And he believes it so much that it actually becomes real. His imagination brings up this thing, and he starts screaming in the middle of the night. "Mommy, I saw something. I really saw a hand come out of that closet." But it was all in his head. Now you as parents, you know, you just be very tender about those things, because to them that's real. So you have to handle those things, you know, with a soft glove, you know, and just say, "Boy, just go to bed." Pow, go to bed. They're gonna remember that the rest of their life. Mommy and Daddy, they don't believe what I, you know, nothing I tell them. You see, so handle that with some softness, but some truth at the same time. You see. Praise God. So so fear, it makes us suspicious and paranoid about people. You know, sometimes we think, "Oh, they're out to get me. They're scheming something." And it makes you paranoid about people, and you can't trust people, even people at church. You can't even trust them because you're paranoid and you're assuming that people are out to get you. And that's wrong. That's not how a Christian should live. Yeah, that's fear. And fear causes torment. Torment your mind. Amen. Assumptions, they're made quickly. And we talked about the human viewpoint of assumption. And wrong assumptions, they lead us to arguments. And it threatens our relationships with individuals. When you are assuming, amen, the wrong side of things, when you have no evidence. Remember, assumption is you thinking that something is true when you don't have the evidence. And then presuming there's a layer of evidence there, but you still don't know yet if it's true or not. So either one is still, you can't do either one. Now, Brother Brandon, when he preached that message, presuming, he was talking about how individuals, they think because they've had an experience in the church, or they shook the pastor's hand, or they said a couple of Hail Marys, or they did something good in the church, that immediately takes them to heaven. That's you presuming. There's evidence there that you did something good. Sure, everybody saw it, but that does not put you in the kingdom of God. You can only come into the kingdom of God is by a new birth. A new birth, amen, is what brings you. Now, that is sure. When you have a new birth, there is no assumption then about, am I going to heaven or after this life or not? Amen. You experience something real that changes you from the inside out. Amen. So assumptions and presumptions, amen, they are dangerous. They are dangerous, and like I just said, you know, when they can damage the relationships with people. You know, sometimes we think that we're so right that and we just assume everybody else is wrong. And we act and we live our life like that. And what you are doing is you're making people to not even want to be around you. You actively judge people before you know anything about that person or about that person's situation. I certainly don't want to be around people that are constantly judging me. You know, I'd rather live my life, expecting the best out of people, right? And then let things be sorted out in their time, right? In time, things will happen. In time, the smoke will clear, and then you will see the clear picture. But while you don't know the evidence, or while you have nothing that you can fully grasp, amen, just give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. Right? I would think that Jesus, that's what he would have done. Right? Now, there's clear sin. You see out here someone, a brother or a sister, smacking somebody out here in the parking lot, that's clear, that's clear. Well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were not smacking that sister in the face. I'm just going to, you do something about that. All right. You stop the situation. You're for the benefit of both of them. But when there's things, that you're just not sure about, amen, you just lay them before the Lord. He's the one that knows all things. He knows all hearts. He knows all situations. And he knows every detail of every situation. All right? So that's the best thing to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then sometimes assumptions, it causes us to give up on people. Amen. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Sometimes we see people sometimes in the world so far gone, and you think, my, there's just no hope for that person. But God has done some miraculous things in this world that you don't even know about. We don't know about. You read about the testimonies of individuals who were Satanists and murderers. And all kinds of people, vile people that you would not think that God could save and change their lives. And they've become to be some of the best Christians in the world. It wasn't they that did that. It was God that changed the hearts. So don't look at people and think, there's no hope for him or her. Amen. There's hope for everybody. Oh, and as I always said, while you're still sucking air, there's hope for you. Amen. Don't assume that about yourself either. Don't assume I've just gone too far. I've sinned my day of grace. You can't do that. You're still here. You're still alive. If God didn't want you to be here, you just wouldn't be here. God's the one who takes life, and he's the one that gives life. Right? So you're here for a purpose. Amen. Praise God. And then sometimes an assumption, it causes misunderstandings. And of course, we just read that about it damages people. See, it hurts relationships, right? You can't trust the person, people anymore when they're assuming about your life in certain ways, when in reality, that's not it. Right? And we've all had experiences. Where people assume the wrong thing about us, and then you try to show them the reality or the truth about it, but it's so in their mind that that's how it is, that you just can't change that, and then you just have to move on and let the Lord do the work. Amen. But sometimes people live their life that they always have to prove that they're right. They always have to prove it some way or another. And I'd rather just move on. Right. Just let the Lord sort that out. As Paul said, and we were just reading here, what did he say? He said, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. In other words, let the Lord sort it out, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we worry about, the hidden things of what goes on in the world. And You know, I get caught up with things like that too. I like looking at the news behind the news and, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, you know. But sometimes you get caught up in those rabbit holes so much, and then you come to a point where, like, well, who knows? But God knows,
right?
God knows, because God created those individuals. And eventually the smoke will clear and the dust will settle,
yes,
and those truths will come out. There's nothing that's gonna be hidden.
Right.
Amen. So I like to finish with this in Proverbs 10:28. It says, "The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked, they come to nothing."
Right?
So the hopes, all right, the hopes of the godly, and I'm assuming that your hopes, the hopes of the godly, are good hopes, right? And that they're going to they allow us to have happier lives and more tranquil lives, instead of prejudging people before the time, right? In 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says, "So don't make judgments." And we just read about that, but this is another Bible translation. "So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due."
Amen.
Let the dust settle. Let things clear up. Let things just settle down, and before we start making assumptions, before we start prejudging people, because the Bible clearly tells us, and Jesus said this. He said, "Let's live peaceably with people." I'm just paraphrasing. Do everything that you can in your possible way to have peace with people. Right? And that is one of the ways to do that. Do not assume that just because a person looks a certain way, or just because a person said something, or you have no evidence of that, therefore you should not prejudge or assume, when you don't even live with the person in their house. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what happens in their head, especially when they hardly don't say anything or they don't talk much. You don't know. And sometimes as ministers, you know, it's kind of hard, you know, when we're sitting here preaching and we're looking at people and we're prejudging already what people are thinking about our sermon. We think that people are not listening, or that they're mad when they're looking at us. When in reality, I'm having to understand that more and more, is that all they're doing is just paying attention. But because they're not saying amen, or because, you know, they're not, we're already assuming that they don't like what we're saying. And that makes us look foolish as a minister. So we don't want to do that. I had to put myself in there, because we do that so much. All right? We are who we are. We're the church that we are. We don't jump and shout like, you know, at other churches, but that doesn't mean that the word is not getting to you. Amen. It's getting to you. And I'm coming to realize that more and more and more. All right. Somebody falls asleep. Oh, well, maybe that part wasn't for them. All right. Or maybe they're just older and they just need to rest. They're very tired. Brother Collie. But anyways, God bless you all. We love y'all.
Amen.
And praise the Lord.